Long Beach sermons. Visit us at citychurchlongbeach.org.
Hey, good morning, everyone. If I haven't had a chance to meet you yet, my name is Brenna Rubio. My pronouns are she, her, and I am one of the pastors here at City Church of Long Beach. And I just want to say a quick but heartfelt thank you to all of you who have not pinched me this morning. Thank you so much. I absolutely blanked on, well, I actually knew it was St. Patrick's Day, but I forgot there was like a thing related to that. It was just not on my radar at all. But many of you look so wonderful in green this morning. I'm so glad we get to just enjoy the silliness of a holiday together in a few minutes when our kids go out. I know there's a special lesson in craft for them to be able to celebrate the holiday and its history together. So it's good. It's fun to be here together. At City Church, we try to be a radically welcoming community on the journey towards Jesus, joining him in the renewal of all things. And sometimes it is just the little silly things like showing up in green all together and kindly not pinching those who forgot. So with that, as we begin our time here together, we love to pray over our kids and our youth. This is going to be one of those mornings where we invite both the kids out for their time of craft and story, and we will also invite out our youth to go with our new Family Ministries Director, Billy, in just a minute so that they can have some games and discussion and some good fun of that nature. So our friend Emma Roy is going to come up and pray over our kids and our youth because we think they're kind of cool. Would you welcome up Emma with me?
Oh, good morning, City Church. It is. It's fun to see all the green out there. Let's pray together. Holy One, thank you this morning for our family of church of all ages. And we offer gratitude for those of us who are Irish and those of us who are not. Those who have pinched people before, we forgive you. Those who have been pinched, we suffer with you. And most of all, for our kids, we just feel so, so very lucky to have you and know that you are loved. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Okay, so for the kids up through fifth grade, if you want to go with Emma and her friends for craft and story time, and for the kids who are sixth grade up through 12th, if you want to head out with Billy here in the blue, he's going to be leading our youth out to play some games and do some discussion as well. So have fun. And hey, by the way, friends on Zoom, I'm sorry, I forgot to greet you, but we're so glad you're here too. Hi, Bill.
Hi, friends. My name is Bill White. My pronouns are he, him, and I am the other co-pastor here. And it's so good to be together. Isn't it so fun to see
all those kids?
All those kids. Wow. Who knew? Who knew? We are in a sermon series today we're looking at the life of Peter, and as he's trying to figure out what it means for him to follow Jesus, and he's a little messy, and he's a lot like us, and that's kind of helpful. So today, Peter is asking Jesus some questions about forgiveness, because he's like, I don't get it. How do you do this thing? And so when we think about forgiveness, before we get into the text, I just want us to think a little bit about it, because I see this regularly, that being unforgiving tends to be a really big issue. And you could say it could even be a political issue. You think about it's an international issue with all the conflicts in our world. And it's an issue in our lives. I was talking to a friend. I had two conversations this week, long conversations. And this is someone who's mature, they're a parent, they teach others and, you know, are kind of a role model. And yet this person is full of bitterness. And when I sit down and talk to them, I'm like, wow, like you're so stuck. Like every time I talk to this person, every single time, all I hear is, like this person did this to me and that person did. And I think that they can turn it on in certain settings. Like if you come to them, then they're nice and they can tell you what to do with your life or whatever it is.
As many of us can, we can turn it on when we have to.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, yeah. Right. Especially pastors. I mean, other pastors, not us, obviously. And I just thought, man, we get so stuck, don't we? Anne Lamott has this great line where she says, not forgiving is like drinking rat poison and waiting for the rat to die. Right? It's like we hold on to this because somehow it's hurting them. Mm-hmm. But it's actually killing us. And we get so stuck. And so today, as we think about forgiveness, we're not thinking about being a doormat. In fact, forgiveness goes hand in hand with setting boundaries, and that's the first part of our text today. But it's not about punishing others. Beyonce in Lemonade, right? She says, forgiveness is me giving up my right to hurt you for hurting me. Like, forgiveness is not being passive, allowing yourself to be used, any of these things. It's something different, and we're going to explore that today. So our friend Bryce Gutierrez is going to come up, and he's going to read scripture for us today. So if you would stand, if you're on Zoom, you don't have to stand on your bed, but you can as we read scripture.
All right, let's see. How close is this? Good? All right. All right. So, if your siblings sin, go and point out their fault, just between the two of you. If they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not listen, take one or two others along, so that every matter may be established by the testimony of two or three witnesses. If they still refuse to listen, tell it to the church. And if they refuse to listen even to the church, treat them as you would a pagan or a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything they ask for, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For when two or three gather in my name, there am I with them. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my sibling who sins against me? Up to seven times? Jesus answered, I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Matthew 18, 15 through 22.
People of God, this is the word of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Thanks, Bryce.
I heard some giggles. I heard some giggles, especially in that section.
Treat them delightful.
Like you would the pagans and the tax collectors. I love that you giggled there, because we have to remember, that was Jesus talking, right? He treated the pagans and the tax collectors pretty good. Yeah. There is some interest. We're actually not going to talk as much about the first section, I have to tell you, but I thought that section was giggle-worthy as well, because Jesus was pretty nice to the pagans and the tax collectors. I actually want to start us off, because we're looking, as Bill said, particularly around Peter. Because Peter is listening to Jesus give some instruction around what really comes down to sort of healthy conflict, which is something I love talking about. This healthy conflict, healthy confrontation. And you can tell that what Jesus really wants is say, like, this is how we restore relationships. That really is the focus, so that even when we get to the giggle-worthy statement, again, Jesus was always calling in the tax collectors and the pagans, always saying, like, let's figure this out. Let's be in relationship. That was the overall focus. And then we have Peter coming, and I don't know exactly what Peter was thinking as he came to Jesus. I mean, clearly something about this has intrigued him. This teaching that Jesus is giving about healthy conflict and trying to establish reconciliation with someone. But he comes to ask a question about how often he should forgive a sibling. And so as we start looking at this together, I actually want to invite us to just notice something first, which is that there are some implicit power dynamics around questions of forgiveness. Peter actually comes to Jesus talking about a relatively simple situation where it's a sibling. He's kind of talking about somebody who, like, this person and I are kind of on equal footing with each other. And they've done something wrong to me, and how do I approach it, right? That's the basic question that he's asking. And I just think it's helpful to notice it because it can also help us think a little bit about the fact that there are other situations involving wrongs done to us or wrongs that we do to others where the power dynamics are not equal. They're not siblings that we're talking about, right? And just that can introduce some different thoughts and feelings and expectations. So I was thinking about this, for instance, as a parent. It's possible that every once in a while I feel like my children have done me wrong. Maybe some of you are parents, maybe you're teachers, maybe you're a boss with employees, and every once in a while you feel like they have done you wrong. And those are real feelings that I have. And yes, sometimes my little angels can make mistakes. It absolutely happens, right? And yet I acknowledge that there's a difference in how I interact with them. That because I am the person in that relationship with more power, more authority, more responsibility, figuring out how to hold that well when they've wronged me just has some different dynamics that come with it. Thinking about how do I use my power with gentleness? If I wanted to punish them hard, I could. How do I restrain myself? How do I treat them well and not just punish them, but teach them and train them and encourage them, right? It reminds me of my husband was trying, I don't get jokes all that well. Some of you know this, right? Like, I miss jokes all the time. So sometimes he, like, tries to explain comedy to me. It goes, you know, with middling results, probably. But I loved this concept he was trying to tell me one day of thinking about comedians have to think about in their comedy when they're sort of laughing at people, are they punching up or are they punching down? And that makes a big difference in whether or not a joke is truly funny, right? Because you're sort of allowed to punch up in a different way, where if you punch down at someone who has less power than you in society, you know, kind of at large, there's just a different expectation, and a joke may just not be funny because you were punching down.
You look like a jerk.
You look like a jerk, yeah.
Which explains a lot of my humor.
It might be why sometimes you get in trouble, because sometimes people don't realize the power dynamics at play, right? Bill might not realize that he has... maybe.
Sometimes says the other white guy in the room. Guy got you, man.
But then on the other hand, for those of us who we have felt hurt in relationships where we've had less power, to kind of recognize, oh, yeah, because there were some dynamics at work. We had higher expectations of those people because we knew they had more power. And so we wanted more from them, and we wanted them to use their power well, and we wanted them to be gentle with it. And so now, as we think about forgiveness, we're also thinking about accountability. And we're thinking, what happens if they don't recognize what they did? Then they have the power to hurt others. And so we just want to recognize that power matters when we get into these conversations. But that in particular, Peter comes asking Jesus about a situation involving siblings. Relatively flat dynamic.
Yep. And maybe some of you have been in that situation. Like, yeah. Anyway,
You're not sure if that tangent was one you wanted to go
on. No, there's so many things going on in my mind right now around forgiveness. Like, have some of you been in that situation where someone in power or makes you like, well, you need to forgive me? You know what I'm saying? Like, particularly like pastors, spiritual authorities, they use this as a way to control, to not.
I hurt you, and now it's your responsibility to forgive me.
Right?
Which might be true, and yet. the pastor in that situation is not the one to say it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many layers in here. So, like, if someone tells you forgiveness is simple, just don't buy that. Just don't buy it, right? So as Jesus is, you know, he has this great line where he says, look, hey, how many times should I forgive? 7 times? No, 77 times. Or it could be 7 times 70 times. There are different ways to translate it. But the idea is Jesus is always expanding our ideas about what it means to follow God, to follow Christ. Very rarely does Jesus narrow everything down. He's always expanding, particularly when it comes to things like love and forgiveness and grace and who's included and doing justice. Jesus is always expanding it. And so as he does this idea, like, no, it's not this little, it's this much. It's really unending, is what he's getting at. Think about lines where he says, hey, love your enemies. I mean, again, he's expanding the idea around love. When he says, hey, look at the log in your own eye, as opposed to judging others, he's expanding this idea of like, oh, maybe I need, my expansion is to look inward and go on this inward journey of letting my heart actually get bigger. And that forgiveness, his whole teaching around forgiveness is an invitation to grow, to go on the internal journey, to let our hearts and our souls get bigger in terms of who we let in and who we release. And this is a gift to us. So many times that's not what we think forgiveness is. And again, there's so many times that I've been a pastor for decades, right? And so I have misused this passage plenty of times for my own benefit. Mm-hmm. And this idea that forgiveness is about, well, you have to reconcile. But I think what Jesus is actually talking about here is he's talking about the internal, unilateral work. That this is what you do. Forgiveness is work that you do on the inside, and it's huge, it's big. Reconciliation is bilateral. That means it takes you and me together, and we have to work on it together to restore our relationship. And that's a wonderful thing, and there's lots in Scripture about that. The challenge is that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is a piece of that. But we need to actually allow forgiveness to stand on its own and to be what it is, in this wildly expansive way of Jesus. Mm-hmm. So to make this plain, when we started City Church, I was at a large church, kind of a mega church nearby, and the beginning of City Church didn't go well, okay? I would say that I was treated very poorly in the process, and of course, I didn't reflect at all on how maybe I hadn't done everything right. But they definitely didn't do things right. You know, jerks. I had to sign a document that said, I will not ask anyone to join our launch team. I won't ask anyone from this church to join our financial support team. I won't ask anyone from this church to join our prayer team. Like kind of, I was persona non grata, right? I was like, I had to move out of my offices. I had to, you know, all this stuff. Like, I wasn't allowed to talk to anyone from the church. All these things were sort of put on me because, like, I was a bad person. And I was super mad about this. And I was completely unable to look at my own stuff. And for years, my goal was to reconcile. And so I kept calling the head pastor saying, hey, we need to meet. And he graciously met with me several times. And every time I kept telling him, you're wrong, you're wrong, you're wrong. And for whatever reason, he didn't like that. It's weird. He actually made some efforts. But I was so committed to reconciliation where he would own every single thing he'd ever done wrong before I could forgive him. I was so stuck. I was literally so stuck. One of the things that's been most helpful, there's a young couples group around City Church, and we were listening to this podcast about forgiveness, and I realized, this was not that long ago, I'm sorry to say, this is in the last year, and realized how stuck I'd been, how I had responsibility as well, mm-hmm. and that the role of forgiveness, that was, I had internal work to do that wasn't based on this former pastor or on the leaders of that church. Sure, they had their issues, and I had mine. And what if I did my work? Mm. It's so hard to do that, right? It's so hard to go inward to do the expansive work of Jesus. Instead, I literally allowed, it's like eating rat poison, waiting for the rat to die. I allowed someone else to have so much control over my thoughts, my feelings, my reactions when I, when the name came up or when an issue came up. They rented so much space in my person. Mm-hmm. Because I couldn't do the internal work. Mm-hmm. And I know this is you, this is me, and this is why Jesus teaches us so graciously about forgiveness as this ever-expanding internal work that primarily sets us free mm-hmm. by releasing them, whether we tell them or not, whether they're involved in the process or not. Mm-hmm. Dr. Shaniqua Walker-Barnes is a therapist who's done a lot of work in this area. She's fantastic. Her article on forgiveness has been super helpful for me. I'll post it in the devotions this week for those who want to see it. But she writes this: people often think forgiveness has to be contingent, has to rely on something that the wrongdoer does. They have to repent. We have to reconcile. We have to restore the relationship. And they have to change. That keeps our emotional process held hostage to another person's issues. Forgiveness is a way of taking our power back and saying, I have my own feeling that needs to be done. I have my own work that has to be done.
I mean, it strikes me as I listen to you, Bill, that forgiveness is not just, it's healing, it's growth promoting, but we could even think, the words that occur to me are empowering and liberating. Because there is this sense of saying, like, I am not going to live my life in reaction to others, but I'm going to...
What she said. That's what I was just saying.
I'm going to do my own work and be my own person and let God work in my own life, whatever they're doing. Yeah, so good. Right?
So good.
But that's not easy. It's not easy. One of the things as we were looking at this passage and especially reading it in light of Dr. Walker Barnes, who Bill just quoted, is thinking about this challenge that Jesus gives Peter of forgiving not just 7 times, but 77 times, right? I think it's very easy when we read that. I think the sort of the first glance reading is often thinking, okay, Jesus is saying we're going to forgive the same person for 77 different offenses, or maybe it's even 77 times of the same offense, right? Because, we all have stuff. We have patterns that we tend to repeat over and over again in relationships. And it's possible that that is what he's saying, right? That there's an element of just dealing with it, that the same person can, in smaller ways or in larger ways, repeat offenses, and that we're still challenged somehow to forgive. Now, it's important to remember, especially if we're talking about bigger things, as we kind of started out saying, that doesn't mean we can't set boundaries, right? That we can forgive and say, again, that's what you're going to do, and here's what I'm going to do, right? You control you, and I control me. It can also mean sometimes, with smaller things in particular, right, that forgiveness may look like just bearing with. Like I was thinking, for instance, like any good friendship or family relationship, partnership, there are going to be little things, little quirks you just have to bear with each other. When my husband and I first got married, I wasn't aware of this, but apparently I have a quirk in my cleaning habits, which I think of myself as a pretty tidy person, right? But apparently, you know, there's like that little trap in your sink that like catches like the peels and like little bits of food and stuff. Apparently, I never empty that out. It just doesn't occur to me. I might do the rest of the dishes and never ever get around to like cleaning out that little trap. And my husband patiently forgave me and continues to forgive me over and over again because it's just my quirk. Similarly, my husband is a very neat and tidy, considerate man, largely. I don't know why the top of the beer bottle can never make its way to the trash. That one particular thing, right? I bear with. I've decided over the years it's not worth getting angry. So Jesus may be talking about these sorts of things, right? The little things that the same person may do over and over again, or the bigger things where we can acknowledge we can't control them, we won't change them, and so we will change ourselves and we'll decide what healthy boundaries we'll set in place to be able to stay in relationship and yet not get mowed over. He may be talking about that. But what if he's talking about something else? What if he's talking about that feeling of anger and hurt that comes up in you 77 times over the same thing that you want to forgive, but it was just so big and so hurtful? That boss who treated you so poorly, right? That relationship that ended in such a disastrous fashion. Those words that were said and you just can't get them out of your head. And so every time you see that person or you see that picture, even though in your heart of hearts you want to forgive them, you feel all those same feelings of just bitterness and rage and wanting them to be punished, wanting everybody to know how badly they hurt you. What if what Jesus is talking about is the process of forgiveness and the reality that it often doesn't happen overnight? That we have those feelings come up for us one time and we say, oh, I feel them, God. I want to forgive them. And then a week later, we feel the same thing. And again and again and again. And that's actually normal and human. And it actually is still forgiveness as we do it. That you're not necessarily stuck every time you feel that anger. You're just still on the journey. I was thinking of a situation somewhat similar to Bill's story, but I just had a very hurtful ending in a particular job and relationship. And the particular person that I felt so angry with, I didn't expect them to change. I knew that wouldn't happen. But I just felt so frustrated with myself that every time their picture or their name would come up on my social media feed, that I would feel so angry, that I would have these great big feelings, and that internally, even though I'm generally like, I don't present with a lot of anger, that internally I was like flipping this person off every time their image came up. And I'm like, that's not who I want to be, would be what I was thinking, right? I don't want to drink rat poison. That's not what I want. There's a quote I heard recently that I just loved this idea. It said, your first reaction to something shows us who you've been formed to be. Whether it's your personality, you know, your kind of early upbringing, all those different forces. So your first reaction shows us who we've been formed to be. But our second reaction shows us who we choose to be. And I thought that was really, again, kind of liberating to kind of go, yes, like that first reaction that I will admit I had every time his face or name showed up on my feed, which was flipping him off. That was something real and honest about where I was and what I was feeling and that hurt that was not yet healed. But the second reaction, which tended to be to kind of use that emotion that came up to take a little two-second prayer break. I'm not trying to make this all preachy and religious, but honestly, this wasn't who I wanted to be. So to say, God, like, help. I'm just admitting to you, God, I'm mad. But I know that as unlovable as I find this person right now, somehow you love them. Good on you, God. Help me. Help release me. And I will tell you, the first time, it took over a year, the first time that I saw his name and his face and I did not have that internal flipping him off reaction, I cried. Because it felt like such a release to say, oh, yes. Yes, that was hurtful. Yes, I don't think he did it all right, and of course I didn't either. But thank you, God, to release me from that anger. So Dr. Walker Barnes talks about forgiveness as having two pieces. There is that decision to forgive. I want to forgive. I'm consciously making the choice. I'm moving in the direction of forgiveness. My heart is inclined toward forgiveness. And then there's the emotional experience of forgiveness. And it may take 77 times to get there. And it's hard and it's real. But God can be with us as we walk on the journey.
Boy, that's such a great picture of you crying at the, seeing the picture. Like, that's, boy, that's where we all want to get, right? So we like to hear stories just from normal people as we process this. So if you would welcome up with me, Brenda Lopez. Brenda, if you'd come on and join us. Super grateful. So, you know, it's not an easy thing just to sort of walk up here and say, oh, sure, I'll pour out my soul about forgiveness, right? Easy peasy. So thank you. and the purpose here isn't saying, oh, and now we have our local expert, Brenda, who is going to teach us all these things, but it's more this picture of like, well, let's listen in on just a regular person and their what they've done well and what they haven't, and recognize, oh, this is our journey too. And listen for the Holy Spirit speaking to you about, yeah, what, oh, that's right. That's probably where I need to be. So thank you for your willingness to share. And tell us, how long have you been around City Church, and why are you here?
So I've been around in City Church, I think, since like around November. So pretty recent.
Oh, I was going to say you're kind of an old timer.
It feels like that. But yeah, no, I think it's just been since November.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And then was that your first time actually? Didn't you came to something before? No.
Yeah, didn't. I think there was like one time we came.
Oh, you came
like
to a
year beforehand.
Right.
It was like in the middle of COVID.
Yeah.
But we couldn't like leave her dog. So
yeah,
we would just
that's
always
what I thought.
Like,
I was telling Brenna, I was like, she came with I think it was with her dog.
Yeah.
Yeah, was, yeah a couple yeah, years yeah. ago. Okay. That's what I thought. Great. So why did you come, or why are you here, or maybe you don't know, and that's fine too.
No, I came because I was researching a lot of different churches. I wanted to go to church. I just knew that for me, especially being part of the queer community, that finding a church that was accepting of queer people was just really hard to do. And like, I've always loved church, but there was always that wall of like, when going into church and not feeling accepted and having to like basically like protect myself from whatever was yeah. being said. Yeah. So I found City Church being an accepting church yeah. and, you know, okay. was wanting to go.
Great. And you grew up, your background is pretty religious, as I recall.
Yes,
Like, how religious?
So I'm from Dallas, Texas, so very Southern Baptist.
Does that make you, like, inherently religious? That like, I'm so religious, I'm from Dallas.
Yeah, it's like, we call ourselves, like, part of the Bible Belt.
There you go.
There's definitely, like, churches in every corner of, like, the city. So grew up very religious, was baptized as a baby, grow up going to Vacation Bible School and always going to children's camp and mission trips, and my parents were very involved leadership wise. So very
all right. So you're a churchy
religious
girl.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So thinking about forgiveness, and I don't know if there are a couple of stories that come to mind for you, but is there sort of a simpler story or a story that's turned out pretty well, or you feel like you've made some progress, is there maybe another? And you don't have to tell all the gritty details. You can tell some, but a story where it's like, yeah, this is still in process.
With my partner, we argue, as most partners do, not all the time, but
really?
I think it's pretty healthy conflict. But when we do, it's generally like for example, maybe I'll get triggered about something, and then I'll want to go away. I need to have that moment to like feel the emotions to its extent. But then honestly, she's so good at like coming to me and consoling me afterwards, making sure that I'm okay, and I'm able to forgive her like pretty easily. But after I have that moment of like feeling,
you got to be in it. And do you like? Is it easier to forgive when she apologizes, or do you just find yourself getting there on your own, or does it go both ways?
A mutual process. Okay. I think I really have to do my part in like feeling it, and then like I said, she's really good at just being like, are you okay, I'm sorry, kind of thing.
Right. Naming the issues. Mm-hmm. I mean welcome to an ongoing relationship, right, where you're just gonna have to do that work. How about another scenario where maybe it's not quite as easy, or maybe it's more ongoing?
So I kind of in the middle of a process of forgiving like 5 different people right now.
Okay.
So I'm like, I'm in it, guys.
You got the list.
I have a list of people.
Do you want to pick one, or do you want to just talk globally about the 5?
I guess I'll pick a few just to kind of like explain. My parents, I feel like they really did their best raising me, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of little things. They're very overprotective that, like, I feel like everything was black and white. Mm-hmm. You were taught, like, there's good and then there's bad in the world. And so I was the goody two-shoes of the family and really was like, okay, be good. And I, like, always like strove for that, and I did a really good job, being good or like trying to do the good thing morally. But I feel like when I came out, to my family, to my parents, they're still accepting. They're still trying to accept who I am, mm-hmm.
And there was some hurt in that process.
Yeah, there's definitely hurt in that process, I think, because, I mean, it's fairly recent. I feel like 3 years ago almost.
Yeah.
They're still coming to terms with it. And I think because honestly, I'm trying to figure out, like, why I can be so angry at them sometimes,
Yeah.
And, what is it? And I think a lot of it has to do with, like, feeling like there's supposed to be like this unconditional like love, like parents give their children, and it's just hard because it feels like, you know, maybe their love wasn't like like unconditional, especially with like teaching like, oh hey, like you have to be good, you have to strive for A's, you know, like growing up, if I got anything under a 90, they'd put a sad face on it. You know, and yeah, it was just it's been really hard. So like, yeah, mm-hmm. So growing up, I'm having now that I'm a lot more of an angry person now, I think. So I'm like really working on like forgiving them and them doing their best, just like, you know, wanting to lead me to be a good person. And yeah, so like sometimes I'll forgive them and one day, right? And then the next day it comes back.
Yeah.
So I totally get the whole, like, yeah, you got to forgive them.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense, right?
The times.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And then it's a decision, and then sometimes you feel it, but sometimes you don't. You still, yeah.
Sometimes you feel it, sometimes you don't. So, but I do love them a lot. I know, like, we FaceTime every so many weeks, and, like, they want to hear about my life, and I know that they love me. I'm actually going to see a therapist right now, so that's been helpful. And so,
good work.
The therapist has been basically mentioned and pointed out that, like, hey, look, your parents, they still want to hear from you. They're still trying to call you,
right.
And you know that definitely counts for something. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah.
Like they're at least trying.
Right.
You know, so
yeah, boy, parents are so tricky.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Man, parents are tricky. I was taking a walk this morning, and I heard this song. I was thinking about my mom. This song always makes me think about my mom, and I was thinking about, like, forgiveness. My mom and dad have both passed, and it's like, how do you can't reconcile with people who have passed, right? Forgiveness is the only way to resolve, because it's 100% internal, you know? Mm-hmm. And, like, there's still a little bit of work for me to do, you know?
Yeah,
and this is after a lot of years of work. But anyway, parents, sorry. I mean, your story just seems so beautiful, and you seem so courageous. I mean, I think, like, you and Allison are working, you know, your daily building muscles in your own relationship, and that's kind of strengthening you to do some of the heavy lifting, you know, in some other relationships.
And I feel like growing up, like, they really teach you, like, say sorry, you know, like, when you're fighting with, let's say you're fighting with your sibling, like, say sorry, and then so they're like, okay, fine, I'll say sorry, but do you mean it? I don't know, maybe not at that moment, but, you know, and they don't really go over forgiveness, you know, I feel like it's very brushed over, and you'll, like, oh, yeah, forgive and forget kind of thing, but it's something that isn't really talked about. And you don't really know how to do it. And so I feel like I'm really getting into, like, what is forgiveness now? You know, like, what is it truly? It's definitely not something that, like, about, okay, was that person wrong or right? It's definitely not about, I feel like it's not even like, oh, it's morally right to forgive them, so you should forgive them. It's not about that. I think it has a lot to do with, you know, about yourself and letting that, like, control you, and also just, you know, being able to see people for who they are, that they're human. You know, like, my parents aren't perfect. Latino background, like, they were hit a lot as children and abused a lot as children. So even that, it's just like there's a lot of, and none of that was right.
Right.
None of that was right. So
you're actually understanding them and starting to see them as real people loved by God and complicated. What was that?
Compassion.
Having compassion for other humans. That is actually one of the true signs of forgiveness.
Yeah.
Is actually having compassion for people.
Yeah.
Remarkable. Thank you. Do you have a question for us? You don't have to, but if you did, you could ask it.
Okay. So I think my biggest question I know, like, Brenna had talked about, like, resentment, and being resentful can be make you like a bitter person, and I'm really struggling with that right now. So I would like to know, like, how do you not be resentful? Like, how do you, you know? And has there been a situation?
I get to go first.
Yeah, how do you forgive people and not let it fester, especially when it's like something that like really eats at you?
Mm-hmm. Well, I actually love that you use that word fester.
Yeah.
Because I think like an ongoing work for me as an adult has been learning to surface and name the feelings, mm-hmm, instead of just like shoving them deep down. Like sometimes when I'm talking with people, again, whether it's like sharing about my own experiences or kind of having a suspicion that it might resonate with them, I think of like, you know, sometimes you start to smell something in your fridge, mm-hmm, and it's just a little bit off. Nobody wants to deal with that, by the way, right? So you might just be tempted to just sort of like ignore it. Maybe keep the door shut as often as possible, right? But it just, it festers. Whatever is in there, it festers and it gets worse and worse. And by the time you bring it out, you may not even know what it once used to be. Like it's just the bag of green smelly goo, right? And that was my emotional life for many years, right? Mm-hmm. That's that picture of festering, where I like, I know that there's something and it's bad. Let's just ignore it and push it down as much as possible. And so to me, I feel like the work that, like we've been saying, right, it might take 77 times, is like when I catch the whiff, say like, okay, this may be unpleasant, but let's actually see where that's coming from. Let's take a moment and feel the feelings, mm-hmm, name the feelings, maybe grieve the feelings. Mm-hmm. I actually think like, I mean, I love that you said, hey, I'm getting angry a lot. I think personally, a lot of times the festering when we bring it up and it's just bad, that's like the anger,
yeah,
right? Because we don't know what else to name it.
Yeah.
But the more we keep like bringing it out, we start to catch that, well, a lot of times it's grief. And it's hurt, and it's loneliness, and mm-hmm, it's a bunch of other things. Yeah. But, man, at first at the beginning, it takes a lot of just, like, digging out the deep green goo.
Yeah,
so just naming.
All right, I'm going to share a story that you probably think I'm weird, but that's, you probably already thought that. But so someone taught me this a while back, and it's been super helpful for me. I'll go on walks on the riverbed, which is right near here, and like all these feelings are inside of me, right? And kind of what Brenna, so I'm trying to do what she's saying, which is starting to name stuff. And so I go through this mental exercise and I feel like, okay, Jesus, let's have a walk here. Let's sit down at a table. And I envision this table. And whatever feeling is coming at me, I do the opposite of what I would usually do. Usually I would stuff it down. Instead, I say, oh, hello, bitterness. So I greet my bitterness. I say, hello, bitterness. Why don't you come and sit at the table with us, with me and Jesus? And I say, you're welcome here. And it's such a hard thing to say, right? And I say, and anger. Yeah, I see you came in with bitterness. You're welcome at my table as well. I will listen to you. And then inevitably, hiding behind anger is grief. I'm like, oh, of course you're there. I never really liked you, grief, but you're welcome at this table. Come sit, talk with me about why you're here. And then and for me, like, it doesn't matter what it is, but inviting them to the table and actually listening to them. And for me, it's this, you know, I kind of do it, it's sort of this spiritual practice, weird, but it disarms them. And I realized they were there anyway. I might as well welcome them and allow them to talk with me and me to understand why they're there. And inevitably, there's someone else behind them. A lot of times, behind one of them will be fear. And often, behind grief, is an old, old friend named loneliness, a very dear friend in my life. Mm-hmm. And so it's welcoming, and I have a great big table. But it's actually a healing table. So anyway, that's a long.
That's a good question.
Anyway, yeah. Wow. Boom. thank God for Brennan Lopez. What a gift.
Sorry, that went long, but that was so good. No, it was so good. I mean, these are always the best parts of our Sunday mornings, I think. We've just a really simple, I mean, honestly, this is just another way to picture and to think about what we were just talking about, because we want to give you all a moment just to think. It's just every single one of us in here has at least five people on our lists, five situations, like Brenda, right? It's just who we are. It's human. We're human. We mess up. We hurt each other. And so we're going to put up a picture of, some of you may recognize this. We talk a lot about healthy conflict. Sometimes we talk about this as the conflict wheel. But this morning, we're just going to use it as its other name, which is the awareness wheel. Because as we've been talking about this morning, so much of forgiveness is about our work. Whether we do it with another person or not, this is our work and our experience and how we might go about starting to name some of what we're experiencing. So you might take a moment and think about a situation, a person, and then you can take a moment and notice what comes up for you, what physical sensations come up for you as you think about that hurtful situation with someone. My body gets hot. My muscles are tight. My stomach feels a little queasy. What's happening in you as you think of that situation and that person? What are the thoughts and the stories that come up for you as you think about that person? What words are you saying to yourself? I think about how much they hurt me, that wrong they did me. And we're going to acknowledge what's there. We're not telling it whether it's right or it's wrong. We're just acknowledging, this is what I'm thinking. And then we start to acknowledge our feelings, as Bill was talking about. You unpack the smell from the fridge. You greet the friends who bring other friends with them. Resentment, anger, hurt, loneliness, fear, confusion. What are we feeling? And we name it. And then comes that final step of saying, I want. And it may start with, like we said, some of the angry thoughts of retribution and punishment. I want them to know how much they hurt me. I want other people to know. I want them to lose their job. But then we may recognize some other wants as well. I want to forgive. I want to think of them without bitterness. I want to be compassionate. And we name those wants as well. All of this really as an exercise of prayer, inviting God in to all these thoughts, these sensations in our bodies, the feelings we're feeling, the wants, some of which are honest, and they express the honest desires of our heart, and others that communicate deeper desires of our heart and who we want to be and who God can help form us into. I'm going to give you just a moment to think, maybe to walk around the wheel, to allow God to be with you in these tricky and human situations. And in just a minute, our friend Lewis is going to come up and lead us in prayer.